Okay, Mark, as a mental health activist, why do you think human rights matter so much in mental health?
I think human rights matter in mental health mainly because the idea of human rights is they're kind of inalienable, that you kind of have them, regardless of who you are or what you've done or what position your life's in. We kind of have a bit of a problem at the minute in mental health and sort of more broadly about arguments about who's entitled to what and who should have which things happen to them, etc., etc. And it kind of makes it very difficult to argue for what should be a kind of guaranteed minimum standard of life. Like, in theory, we have a right to a home, we have the right to see our family, we have the right to work if we can, we have a right to education. Without those being human rights, they're kind of always up for discussion. And there's a difficulty there if someone decides, someone who's got some degree of power, that somehow you fall into a category that doesn't deserve those things. Because human rights aren't about whether you deserve them. Human rights are about the basic minimum standard of humanity.
I mean, obviously we've come some way, but what barriers are we still facing, in your opinion?
I think in Mental Health Week, there's a number of barriers to sort of thinking about things in terms of a rights-based approach, because we've come some distance in sort of thinking about rights-based approaches in mental health, but the kind of end point is more distant. It's a fight that we might be engaged in that might not be won in our lifetime. It might not be won in the lifetime of our children, if we ever get round to having children. Not all of us will. I haven't. I've got a cat. It's definitely not going to take place in the lifetime of my cat. So it's kind of, they aren't solutions necessarily to problems that we have today. And that's kind of difficult to focus on. Because establishing human rights is something that goes through processes that lots of us don't know very much about. Goes through sort of legal processes and courts and international courts and cases of precedence and stuff like that. And most of us aren't lawyers or barristers. And that makes it kind of hard to see that something's moving in the right direction, because it's happening in a place that feels very far away from how we feel any particular morning when we get up.
Yeah, I mean, one of the CME mottos is take action, change life. So just to sum up, you know, what action should we all be taking?
It's a good question. I mean, I can't really answer the question of what action we all should be taking. I can see how we might get to a place where we might start to answer that. I think one of the actions we have to start taking is we have to start talking to each other more without biting each other's heads off about things that are happening. Because it seems clear to me that we're not talking about one experience of mental health difficulty. There isn't a universal experience of having a mental health difficulty. We all have very different lives. We all have very different backgrounds. We all have very different experiences and difficulties. And to work out what we might benefit in common, we actually have to talk about all of the things that are different as well. If you think about it like a Venn diagram, you've got, like, in the UK, you've got millions of different circles, and each circle is someone's life. And if you put them all on one bit of paper, we might find out that actually there's one bit where just about everyone's life crosses over, and that's where we might need to start taking action first. So it's almost like, let's not jump to the conclusion. Let's spend the time having the conversation.